What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Cigars and Everything Else podcast, episode 33. Where we at,
yes, sir? Man, we got so many ways we can go with it. We can go Patrick Ewing.
We can go Pat Ewing.
Kareem.
Definitely Kareem. We could do GOAT.
We can do Grant Hill. One of the most underrated, never hit his potential guys.
Yeah. Dynamic for his era.
Yeah. Or we can go Scottie Pippen.
Pip. How you go Pip? Oh, how you go Pip over Larry Legend? We ain't gonna consider Larry Legend.
Yeah, we got throw him in there. Throw Larry in there. I had to put Scottie Pippen in there, man. You know how I feel about Scottie.
I didn't know if you was gonna actually acknowledge Scottie and whatnot, man. Hey, we got some baseballers, man. We got, Jose Canseco.
Okay.
You know, since we don't ever show them love, even though they sports stink, you know what I'm saying?
Jose Canseco, man, that's a throwback right there.
Throwback, man. The Canseco episode.
Yeah, we're going to call it the Canseco episode.
Nah. That don't feel good.
It don't feel good.
It don't feel good to the tongue flowing
out. Nah.
The Mike Piazza episode.
Nah.
Sorry, baseball. Your sport stinks. We not gonna roll with you.
I mean, maybe the names ring bells for other people, but nah, not for me.
Hey, we gonna say it's the Kareem episode. And for y'all that like Piazza or Canseco, man, y'all fill in the blank. And in y'all ears, y'all just heard that when we said that, you know. But this one's for y'all. If y'all like Piazza and Canseco, man. It's the Kareem episode, man. I'm gonna roll
Kareem
with that.
Episode. All right, we'll do it. We'll do it.
All right. Well, look, my name is Jared. My co-host is Denzel, and we're gonna get into some cigar talk and a little bit of everything else. Now, before we get into everything else, man, we were talking off camera, so let's get into some other stuff real quick, and then we're gonna let the stars come in right after that with a proper introduction.
All right.
But man, what you got? Random question. What's your most embarrassing moment that you can think of, man? And we'll say from not in recent life, you know, from childhood, you know. And when I say childhood, anything 21 and under. You got a moment?
Man, we got a lot of college years that was embarrassing. Glad we didn't get a lot of those on film. Glad there was no TikTok and no Instagram when we was in college. would have been reels full of embarrassing moments.
Yeah, just moments.
Man,
we were talking off camera, man, and I said that I fell in slow motion in front of the boys. I fell face first into a table, just slow with my head to the side, and it landed here so softly. And I just was looking them both in the eyes like the whole way down. And they said I looked like
somebody
I
helped
to save me. Nobody saved me. They just laughed at me to tears, man. So I had another embarrassing moment. I didn't have a whole lot of them, but one other moment. You remember when it snowed that year and we had that big snowball fight in the dorm?
I might not have been around for that.
There was a snowball fight that occurred. And I popped my head. We were on the second floor of my dorm. And I peeked around the corner of the window just in time for a girl to hit me dead in the face with a snowball. She hit me dead on. I didn't get out of the way of nothing. If I'd have waited one more second, it'd have zoomed by and then I'd have looked out the window. But instead,
got you. Boom.
Yeah, oh, it was right so there. Cold. She got it good.
I guess if I had to pick one, it would probably be from college. And I'm pretty sure you remember this. So we was walking the campus one night. I don't know why. I don't know where we're going and where we're coming from. But for some reason, there was a beer bottle sitting on some little stoop area thing. Right. For some reason, I have no idea why, some told me to pick up this beer bottle and act like I'm about to swing it or something. Like, I'm like this weird action. Not thinking that the beer bottle had beer in it. I don't even know why. I pick it up, boom, playing like joking, right? And then the beer just falls all over me, all over my jacket, all over my clothes. And I had to walk around for the rest of the night smelling like I took a bath in beer. Why I did that, I can't even tell you why. What was the urge? I have no idea. But y'all were around like, why did you do that? I have no idea. I'm just saying, just drowned in beer. Why? I have no idea, man.
Man, why? You know what's crazy, though? In fairness to you, that beer bottle should have been empty. What college student leaves a 3/4 full beer bottle just sitting there? Or maybe it wasn't 3/4. Just sitting there. I don't know. You picked it up.
I'm saying it was full enough for me to be drowned in it. At the time, I was the only one in the crew who didn't drink. But I smelled the most like alcohol than anybody else.
That was the irony of it all.
I'm smelling like the drunk, and I didn't even drink. Yeah. Everybody. And I'm sitting there just smelling like I'm just drowned in beer.
And the fact that you didn't drink probably had to make that experience worse for you. Just to smell, having to smell something that you didn't enjoy anyway.
And I didn't go back to my dorm right away. Like, I can't remember how far away we were, but it was just, all right, man, I'm going to just suck this one up. It is what it is.
It is what it is, man. Hey, man, y'all. Everybody had those moments, man. You know, we just shared some moments with y'all, man, of our own little downfalls and misfortunes and whatnot. Hell, man, you know, you keep watching the show, man. If we keep doing these videos, you might see some misfortunes with these cigars and whatnot. I dropped ashes in my lap last episode. You know, whoever's
caught that.
Pay close attention. You caught it?
I caught it.
So you caught it? Well, there you go.
I caught
man.
It.
You know, it happens, man. You know, we all have our L's, man, that we take along the way. But, man, I have stalled long enough. Let's get into the stars of the show. Let's
talk about it. What we got?
I have a Nika Bustika 6x60 Adobe Gordo by Drew Estate. Boom. There you go, okay, right there. Going. Get my face out of the
camera. Let's see.
There is it? It ain't going to focus. Too much hair. That being said, let me see. Do I have my specs on the cigar? I didn't check there. No, it doesn't. But I did do my research for you. So let me just let you know what I'm working with here. This particular cigar is going to be an Ecuadorian wrapper with a Brazilian binder and a Nicaraguan filler is what I'm working with.
Nice. So, we like that. We like it. We like it. We like it. All right. Well, I hope it's a good smoke, man.
We're going to
Drew Estate. Let's see if we can bounce back off that acid. You know what I'm saying? Drew Estate's acid. I don't think they'll let us down. Not two weekends in a row.
We're going to see.
Two episodes back to back. All right, man. So check this out. So today was one of those game time moment decisions. Which way I wanted to go with this. I picked up a CAO. Okay. Got this guy right here. And not a flavored one. Or at least I didn't think it was a flavored one. It doesn't look like one of the flavored ones. So I was curious to see these other cigar brands who usually do the flavored cigars and try to journey into some of their non-flavored types and see how well they do that. Right. So that was an option. But then I came across Romeo y Julieta, my first cigar smoke ever. So I didn't find the one, my first cigar, but I haven't revisited Romeo in a long time, and Romeo was the first cigar brand I've ever smoked. So I wanted to kind of come back to Romeo and try out some Romeo. I haven't had them in a while. Haven't tried any different types of Romeos in several years. So I picked up the Romeo San Andreas, and I think that's what we're going to go with today.
The Romeo San Andreas. That's pretty.
San Andreas.
That good torpedo.
Amen. All right. So I picked this up without looking at any specs. So whatever I get is whatever we get. I have no expectation going into this.
So you didn't find out the wrapper or the binder or nothing for us, the filler, none of that stuff?
I mean, I haven't pulled up, but going into it, picking it up and, you know, not knowing anything about the cigar, it is what it is. So the wrapper is San Andreas, the origins Nicaragua. Filler, Dominican and Nicaraguan, and binders Nicaraguan as well. So okay. That's what we're looking at. We got a more of a Maduro wrapper. So we got that dark wrapper. Looking like on a profile, we're looking at possibly a heavy smoke. We'll see how the body is. So we're looking at a full body smoke today. And we'll get this guy a test run and see what happens, man.
Let's do it. I'm punching. I have a punch on the end of my lighter, my torch. So I'm running with a punch today. How about you? Right. Well, you ain't got much option. I won't even ask you.
Straight cut. Yeah. Straight cut. I'm in it. No, I mean, we could do the, we found out.
You did a couple episodes ago.
You did the V on a torpedo and it came out pretty well. I was a little nervous getting it cut, but we were successful, made it happen, and boom. It was a good smoke, man.
Yeah, you impressed me with that.
All right, so we're going to light with the cedar spill. So what's up with the matches, man? I ain't see you with Matt Shorty in a long time.
Man, you know, I got my cedar stick, so I wasn't going to. But don't challenge me, brother. Like, I'm prepared to get to work if need be.
Always prepared.
That
was my
intentions, though.
Yeah. True aficionado.
Yeah, but I didn't intend to. Hey, while you get started on your toasting and whatnot, I would like to know, because you said you revisited that asset from last week. And I want to hear your thoughts on it.
Oh, man. Typically, when you go back and you revisit a cigar, 9 times out of 10, it's not as good as it was when you first smoked it. So I don't know what I was thinking it was going to get any better, picking it up and trying it again, or at least finishing it. You know, I don't like to let a cigar go to waste. So I had some more time, I think the next evening, and, you know, just want to go ahead and finish it up. A couple of puffs in, it did not age well. It is not one of those cigars that you want to save for later. You know, flavor was pretty much gone. So the features that allowed the smoke to be more enjoyable had dissipated by this point. So it was a couple of puffs in. It's like, there's no point to smoke the cigar. I put it back out and I moved on to the next. So not a fan, not much at all. It didn't win me in the second relight. So.
Didn't win you in the first.
Didn't win me in the first, and it was no salvaging it at that point. So here we go. We just let it be, and I moved on to something else. It's like, why struggle through a smoke if I don't have to?
Sounds like you'll never smoke an acid again. Is that the case?
You know what? I mean, even though I did say I could see myself smoking that one again, I probably wouldn't. I probably wouldn't. More likely than not, I probably wouldn't. There's too many other good options out there. You know, I know CAO, they have a lot of good flavors. Why not grab that? If I have them side by side, why not grab it? If you got some Javas around, some fat bottoms, I'm grabbing it. You know, acid has to be the only flavor cigar, and I have to be in an extremely flavor mood to go ahead and pick it up. Got to be the only option.
Hey, man. Understood. You make a great point, though. You know what I'm saying? There's so much to choose from. Why sit around and keep going back to something you didn't have a good experience from? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Even though we may do it as cigar nerds, you know what I'm saying? Just to be like, all right, what if, you know, it was this scenario, let me give it another shot.
Right.
Or if it's something right. that's popular enough that you say, hey, I had a bad experience, but people love this. Let me try again because maybe it's a one-off.
Yeah.
And outside of that, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, why? Like, if it's just something regular that's not hyped up, you know, why?
Mm-hmm. And acid doesn't have that hype. It doesn't have that hype. It's a name that's out there, but it doesn't have the hype.
Yeah, popular with no hype. It's redundant as that.
So, contradictory, right?
Contradictory, yeah. Sorry, I didn't graduate nice. College.
Cut it out. Hey, so what you got pairing with your stick today, man?
I'm just back on the tequila, man. Back on the tequila.
Okay. Yeah. Tequila. Dark tequila.
Yeah. Back on my brown tequila.
So I'm here with the bamboo.
Bamboo.
Got some lemonade with it.
Yeah.
So we're gonna get a splash. I already got the lemonade in the cup. I threw some club soda. Some club soda with it. Say what?
Copper mug. Hey, man,
so,
styrofoam cup, man. You got me looking like a hood player. You know what I'm saying? While you sitting around with the good etiquette.
and it ain't double cup.
I know. I missed out on the one demographic I could have satisfied. I missed it because I didn't double cup, man.
Oh, come on, man. Come on, man.
What am I doing? Hey, this stick, man, letting us down. Spicy.
Is it? Okay, we got a spicy boy.
That spicy black pepper is hitting, man, you know, with a little earthiness. I'm like, whoo, please let something else come on in here, Drew. What did you do to me?
So we got some strong pepper off the cap. Okay. All right. Hey, my Romeo is pretty smooth in the beginning.
Yeah.
I'm kind of enjoying it. I took maybe three puffs so far. Not knowing what to expect.
Right.
And real smooth. Real smooth. So now we're going to see how the bamboo is going to complement these next few puffs as we go along. So we got some smooth. A little bit of cocoa, a little bit of chocolate, man.
Right.
Some oat. Yeah. And no pepper just yet.
Okay, I ain't mad at that. Man, speaking of, I said cigar nerds. Speaking of nerds, you know, I'm gonna nerd out a little bit more with you for a little moment. Then after that, we'll move into some other stuff, you know. But so I done found this YouTube channel to be like playing like old fighting games. He like usually has Street Fighter, and he'll be combining it with other characters and whatnot. And I came across one where he combined the Mortal Kombat with Street Fighter. You know, took me straight back to my childhood. And I'm like,
yeah.
I like Street Fighter, but I was more of a Mortal Kombat guy than a Street Fighter guy if I had to choose. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I just was watching and I was thinking to myself, man, the Street Fighter characters in a gang battle couldn't beat the Mortal Kombat crew, man. They wouldn't have had no smoke for the Mortal Kombat crew.
I gotta agree with you on that. Only because maybe the way the characters were structured, they had more capabilities on the Mortal Kombat side, and the Street Fighter side seem more of a traditional type of thing, a traditional martial art type of thing, you know, where it wasn't as much funky stuff. You know, you had my guy who can stretch the arms, and you had Chung Lee with the will of fast kicks, but still on the traditional side. Mortal Kombat had a little bit more tricks in the bag, man.
I agree, but now, don't get me wrong, there's some matchups that Street Fighter could have won over Mortal Kombat. Chung Lee was going to whoop Sonya Blade. Sonya Blade ain't want no smoke with
Chung Lee. She wouldn't smoke.
None, bro, none. You know what I'm saying? That if she got her with that little leg grip, you know what I'm saying? That would have worked like once. Then it wouldn't have worked no more after that. Like,
Chung Lee would have got busy.
She would have got busy.
She would have got busy.
I don't know that Liu Kang and Ryu and Ken would have been some good matchups too, man. You know?
Yeah. Neck and neck.
I don't know. Who you got?
Sub-Zero gonna give anybody the business though. Anybody. Who gonna touch him? Anybody. That's your ace card right there.
And Scorpion too. Blanca, he like that inside work. He grab on you and gnaw on you. You know what I'm saying? But Scorpion is just stand on the outside and, you know what I'm saying? Get over here. Snatch him up. Bring him to me. You know what I'm saying? Put that work in. Push him back out. You know what I'm saying? Back to the outside. And then not to mention, he had that little teleport from one end of the screen to the other side with that punch. He'd have been behind him before he knew it. You know what
I'm saying? See, that's the difference between the Street Fighter and the Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat had a more of a mythological mystique to him than Street Fighter did. You know, Street Fighter, they had they got their traditional 1-2 punch, little fast hands. The E-Honda, he get busy too. You know what I'm saying? He's going to slap you up. You know what I'm saying? He'll slap you up real quick. But that's about it. Don't let him get a, you know what I'm saying, get a hand on you. Get a hand on you, it's over. He heavy-handed.
He had them hands, bro. He had them hands. What was the brother name on Street Fighter?
Who?
The boxer.
Oh, man, I can't even remember. That's sad.
Him and Jax would have been a good matchup. You know what I'm saying? from part two, him and Jax. They'd have went head up.
Now I gotta look it up. Come on, we gotta do our black folk, right?
Balrog
or something like that. Balrog Street.
Yeah. Him and Jax would have met up pretty good, man. Jax with the metal arms, you know what I'm saying? But Jax kind of sucks. I think he'd have lost.
Oh, man. So since we're talking about that, man, let's talk about the movie, though. How you feel about the movies? The movie adaptation of either or. Yeah. Even the newer one for the Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat had the better movies. But I kind of dug the Street Fighter a little bit, but I ain't watched it in years. You know what I'm saying? I'm just kind of going off my memory as a kid. You know what I'm saying? Like how I felt about it. It wasn't as good as the Mortal Kombat.
How did it resonate with you back in the day?
Which one?
Both of them. Just saying, like, how did it hit you? As a kid coming up, being a fan, like, how did it?
As a kid, Mortal Kombat 1 hit me. You know what I'm saying? Mortal Kombat 2 sucked. But Mortal Kombat 1 hit me, you know what I'm saying? Street Fighter didn't hit me as hard, even though it had an actual name. It had Jean-Claude Van Damme, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It should have been the better movie, but something missed the mark on it. I might go back and look at that one, actually, man, now that you got me talking about
man.
It.
Man.
I wish they were...
And now that we're talking about it, where are all the martial art movies at nowadays? Do we got one? We had some... Boys back in the day, man. It's
Ip Man. I ain't really seen her one that really.
They still come out, but they've fallen off too. Like really, like they still drop movies recently, but it's not like one and two. But man, where are your Bruce Lees, your Chuck Norris's? Where are your Jet Lees, your Jackie Chan's?
Well, with the popularity of mixed martial arts, it seems like they would at least have some of those out, a little more of them. But
man, you had kickboxer back in the day.
You want to look at that stuff? You know what I'm saying? Like they are.
We had the kids, the Three Ninjas.
Yeah,
come on, man, Ninja Turtles, man.
Michael B. Jordan has done the boxing movie, the Rocky, the new version of the Rocky stuff. You know, they try to bring that back. The Creed, you know what I'm saying? And there was another, they've done a few boxing movies, but they don't do the martial arts.
Yeah, but that's the boxing, but yeah, I want, we have
like martial arts hit harder.
I remember even my pops talking about when he was coming up, he did martial arts when he was younger. And then that was the push for me to get into it. Of course, I took it to the next level. I joke with my pops all the time about it. You know, he got his black belt, but he's like, it's not the same. It wasn't the same as when you got yours. It's like, yeah, I'm the real deal. I let my pops know I'm the real deal. But, you know, that was the hype back in the day, back in the 70s for him. You know what I'm saying? You had even the blaxploitation guys, you know, they were still getting in with the martial arts. You come out of the movie theater, everybody wanted to try the moves. Everybody became a martial art expert just by sitting in the movie theaters.
Yeah. You got to think about it. And black people were more into boxing, really. You know what I'm saying? That was the sport. Yeah. That was the big sport in the 60s and 70s. You know what I'm saying? Like, bigger than everything else, boxing was. Everybody wanted to be the world champ. So for martial arts movies to always be the thing that everybody loved, it said a lot. You know what I'm saying? Because we weren't necessarily all going out doing karate, but we admired it. We had a respect for the culture. You know what I'm saying?
Right, and
dissipated at some point.
Yeah, I think the last one holding it down is Michael Jai White. I think he the last one left that's really, really holding it down.
Yeah,
you know,
is he those movies though? You know what I'm saying? Like,
and they're not big blockbusters either. Yeah, you know, it's just like little straight to DVD type of joints. Well, and DVDs no more, but you know what I mean.
No,
straight to Netflix.
That feel, whatever that is considered now. Straight to
you can't even Prime, say straight to Netflix
Amazon
anymore.
Prime. That's what you guys say. Straight to Amazon Prime. Some of them lower.
But you know what's crazy? You can't even say that anymore because you got big tier movies that's going straight to streaming sites now. They're not even worrying about it.
But see, that's not even the issue. Going to streaming is what streaming do you get to make it to? You know what I'm saying? Do you get to go to Netflix? Do you make
Netflix?
It to Hulu? Do you go to HBO Max? Or do you go to the Amazon
Peacock.
Prime or lower? You know what I'm saying? Because it gets lower. Yeah. I got the lower ones on my TV.
Tubi.
I can't even remember what they call. Yeah, do you make it to Tubi or what's the little one? Crackle. You know what I'm saying? Are you a Crackle movie?
Crackle movie.
Hey, they put out a new Tekken, man. You know, Tekken should have got a movie, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, man. Yeah. That'd have been dope.
Or, check this out. Why is Killer Instinct? Why did that never get a run? Like, why did that never come into modern day gaming?
Man.
Instinct was that thing, bro.
You throwing it. It was. Why is it? It's not out. They ain't got no new versions of it. Even with the newer, like, even since when? Like, when was the last time they dropped a game?
I don't think it ever made it to PlayStation. I think it ended in the Nintendo era.
Wow, that's crazy. That's crazy. That's something they definitely should bring back then.
It was a great game, classic, bro. Like, that was great.
And especially with the way technology is. Yeah. Especially with the way technology is now versus what it was. Like, so Nintendo 64 was probably like the last time it was. You know what I'm saying? Produced.
Did it get there in 64? Was it just Super?
I don't know.
I ain't seen it since.
That's Super crazy. Nintendo,
to be honest with you.
That's crazy. I loved it
growing up, though.
Hey, show some more love to Killer Instinct.
Would make a good
movie. I miss the arcades, man. In the arcades. Mm-hmm. Like, they got them still, in a sense. But, man, that was the spot to go.
Oh, yeah.
That was the spot to go.
You know, I'm ready for the VR arcades, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm ready
for. Doing bigger and better.
Yeah.
So y'all ain't got them like that out there yet? Right
now. Yeah, we got some VR
arcades here. Okay.
So they play at them, but they ain't where I want them at yet. You know what I'm saying? So what?
The level's not there yet.
They got to level up. Yeah.
The concept is there, but it just needs to be improved.
Yeah. It's fun, but it ain't there yet. It still got work to do, man. It's cool for hearing that thing, but some other games aren't as realistic. Some of them just ain't as fun. Some are funner than others.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's got a ways to go.
Okay.
I'm talking about when the big games is all in the arcades and we just all go there and we playing Killer Instinct against each other. With the VR.
And as the characters.
Yeah.
You pick your character and you become the character.
I become
the character. You just ain't on the sticks as the character. You become the character.
I gotta raise my leg to do that kick. If I'm Chun Li, I gotta go, wah, 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 wah.
Oh, a lot of people in trouble then.
In trouble, bro. I'm in trouble. Shoot. My knee's gonna be hurting after that.
Shoot. That's a workout, man. It's like the Wii games. You saying get interactive with it?
Yeah. You know, Americans so lazy. We ain't appreciate them. You know what I'm saying? But we tried.
Yeah, they wanted video games you can control with your mind. Probably. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got to do nothing. Just sit there. Just hey, do this, do that. You just think yourself through it.
Yeah. Nah. I want to do some work.
Now give me some movement. Yeah. Some
movement, man. So I can feel like I just got my behind whooped afterwards, man. Give me a real adrenaline rush. Like,
man, like, I remember
when I went to the VR spot, right? The dude that run it, he was like, he saved this one game. He was like, hey, just come over here and do this one game with me. And I'm like, what's the game? You know what I'm saying? He's like, nah, you just got to do it. And I can't tell you nothing. So he put me in the little set. He said, stand right here. And step on this little board. I'm like, all right. I step on the board. He's like, all right. So then all of a sudden, he cut the game on, and I'm walking this plank off the edge of a skyscraper, and I'm just walking. And that one was real now. That felt real. And it's like, all right, as I start getting to the edge of this skyscraper, it's like, oh, Lord. He's like, nah, you're good.
So I'm really feeling nervous.
Yeah, you start getting nervous for real. Like, and that lets me know that the mind really don't know the difference between a dream and reality. You know what I'm saying? That's why when you dream, you get scared, like somebody really after you.
Yeah.
Your subconscious don't know the difference between that stuff, man. But that's another conversation. I get to the edge. He's like, all right, you're at the edge, right? I said, yeah. He said, look down. I'm not a scared of heights kind of dude. But when you look down and you see traffic and you don't know how far up you are, it get real for a second. You know what I'm saying? And I look at
your mind got to click and engage. Like, hold up, this is virtual.
I'm consciously telling myself this ain't real, but you know, you got that little nervousness. You know what I'm saying? So he like, all right, now look around. I'm looking around. He like, all right, and take a step. And, you know, you take a step off the edge and you lose your balance when you take a step off the edge. Everybody that did the game lost their balance. I tried to fight losing my balance, lost my balance. Yeah,
because you knew it was coming.
He grabbed me, you know, and I'm looking like I'm still falling. He like, nah, I got you. You good. I'm like, I thought I was going, bro. The plank is this high off the ground, like all the 2 to 3 inches off the ground. You know what I'm saying? Like that step felt like the longest step ever.
He was way up there.
Then my wife did it after watching me and laughing, and she did the same thing. You can't control it. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right. It's all in the mental, yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And that's so, at the VR spot?
Yeah, the VR spot. So when they all get to the point where they playing mind games on you like that, I'm with that, you know. But right now, they ain't going to be for everybody, because some people, I see them falling in their living rooms and stuff, man. You know, when they be playing.
Yeah. Hey, that's where we're going though, man. Talking about the that whole VR world, the metaverse whole thing. We had that conversation before plenty of times.
Oh yeah,
man, bringing that virtual reality into that reality realm. It's gonna be crazy. And then while we talking, while we thinking it ain't there yet, it probably is. We just ain't got the technology like that yet over here.
Yeah, it's being produced. It's being produced.
It's probably already produced. And it, like, here's a crazy thing. When I used to live in Japan, and I remember coming back to the States, and we had, you know, the rides where you feel like you're actually on a roller coaster type of thing. We had that way back in like the early 90s. Came over here, they didn't have it, and then they started dropping them like early 2000s. And people were like, yo, what is this? Like, we've been had that like 10 years ago. States just now getting it.
It's crazy.
We already had that. Even with the small cell phones, the little miniature cell phones, before the cell phones got small like they were. 95 in Japan, they was already like that.
Yeah.
Over in the States, they had the big black joints. You know what I'm saying? And then in what, maybe early 2000s, they finally started getting smaller. It's like, man, they've been had that in the early 90s in Japan.
You know what we're talking about? America is that we always claim to be ahead on everything too. People like, man, yeah, the rest of the world be copying our flavor. Nah, bro, we be behind like a mug.
We way behind.
We be
cocky, arrogant. You know, that's why a lot of countries don't like us, man. Like, God, they think they this, they think they that. They don't even know. I'm pretty sure out in Dubai, they got so much craziness out there. You know what I'm saying? Especially with all the money that's floating around, and we think we a rich nation. Man, they got ballers out there that they 14 karat gold Ferraris for no reason.
Just cause.
You know what I'm saying?
We arrogant, man. We'll go travel out of state on vacation and talk about the foreigners in the country. Like, we in your country.
No, you the foreigner. You the foreigner.
That's that American arrogance, bro. Like, but
man, why these people don't speak English? Because this is not an English speaking country. That's why.
Right. Hey, man, that's how we get down, man. That's what, that arrogance is what made us great, though. You know, I guess we losing some of it now with time, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
Hey, man, speaking of, you know, how we're transitioning into different times, and you talked about you brought up the multiverse as being one of those things. We also have talked about OnlyFans in the past, which is, you know, the way of the future, you know. So
it's a wave, man. It's a wave.
Hey, revisiting OnlyFans, we came across an article about a school teacher that quit being a school teacher because she made $1 million off of OnlyFans and whatnot, man. That the idea that is incredible, man. And stuff like that always makes me say, I don't know what's going to cave first. The job market getting rid of us or us getting rid of the job market. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because
it's going to, when that happens, it's going to clash. It's going to come to a head. Man, I mean, honestly, like, crazy thing is this. I think about it a lot. I think about it more than I actually realize. Whenever you had that conversation, and I was thinking about, man, how many, it's like looking at the job market, people ain't gonna want to do these jobs anymore. What's gonna do this hard labor for? I'm gonna sit in this classroom and teach these kids and make $30,000, $40,000 a year, $50,000 a year, yeah, when I can go over here and make $500,000 to $1 million, easy. And even if you don't make it, even if you don't make a million, how many people are willing to say, I'm going to put this to the side because I'm going to at least try, you know, and say, I'm not even going to try to become a school teacher. I'm not going to deliver mail and be a post office worker, a postman. I'm not going to be a construction worker. I'm not going to be a plumber. I'm going to OnlyFans.
Yeah.
Go on YouTube. I'm going to be a TikTok guy. I'm going to dance on TikTok and make some money.
Just think about
it. I'm not going to be an electrician. I'm not going to climb up these towers.
Even if you don't get to a million, what's the better way to get 60,000? From your home posting videos or
fact
going to an actual job and grinding it out? You know what I'm saying? And the jobs is being forced to have to pay more. My wife said she went to go this barbecue restaurant for lunch and saw the hiring signs for $17 an hour at a restaurant. That's where we at now. You know what I'm saying?
$17 an hour. It has to be. My son, 13 years old. And he was having the conversation and he's like, I can't see myself working a regular job. And I get that everybody has that mindset at some point, but even talking to him and trying to convince him, no, you might want to have a fallback. You might want to try to have a regular job at some point. He's like, no, why? It was no convincing him at 13 years old, a reason why to see having a regular job while working at Chick-fil-A or working at Foot Locker is a good move to get started. You know, back when we were 16, 17, we were happy to have those kind of jobs.
Yeah.
You know, we were looking for those kind of jobs. Hey, I go work at Family Dollar. I make this $6 an hour. I was hyped to work at Family Dollar. We talked about how I skipped out on the trip to Miami to work at Family Dollar. Nah, I'm working a gig. I ain't going on this trip to Miami. I'm going to work this job at Family Dollar. Mm-hmm. Kids growing up now, man, they don't have that kind of mindset. It's like, nah, why am I going to do that? For one, they're seeing too many people, you know, make this money, make $30,000, $40,000, $100,000, $1 million on Instagram, TikTok, Snap, whatever the social sites they are that make money, Facebook. Right. What's the incentives? You got to raise the money up a little bit. You can't give somebody $12 and say, hey, yeah, this is good enough to work at H&M. Nah, you got to give them $17, $18 to work at H&M. You know what I mean? To work in the mall, to work at Foot Locker.
Only way. This teacher, at $1 million over the course of 3 years, that averages out to almost $28,000 a month she was making. And you got to think, a teacher's salary ain't leaps and bounds beyond that for the year. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no. Not even close.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's just something to make you consider, man. Like, wow.
What's the incentive? And like, when you sent it to me, I'm like, you know what? That was actually smart. You know, she can go be a teacher later when she's not as marketable on OnlyFans anymore.
Yeah.
And she can put that on pause. Let me go ahead and make this money. If I feel like teaching later on in life, let me go ahead and teach later on in life when OnlyFans ain't popping for me no more.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Well, I got to find another avenue.
She is where she can't be profitable off her body or looks no more. I'm out. But I already done stacked up like $5 million. You know what I'm saying? So now when I go into this other thing, I got $5 million in the stash. I can kind of go.
If I ever feel like going to be a teacher again. Yeah. Why? Especially if I did right by my money, ain't no point in me going back into the workforce.
Right. Bro, I sent you this link about the dude that was making $2 million a month off of social media skits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I never even heard of the guy. You know, I'm like, wow, some dude I never even heard of. Like, you've never crossed my radar at any point. And you're making $2 million a month off skits online.
Yeah, and I meant to respond to that.
Exist in the world? Like,
yeah, I meant to respond to that because especially as we get older and we get more disconnected from these certain sectors, just like musicians, you got so many musicians or rappers or whatever who are out there that we never heard their names, but they're popping for a certain sector. And even when you talked about me and, you know, how we market music, hey, look, just work on your your audience. So if you get on Facebook and you got a market on Facebook that's 2 million people who are subscribed to you, 2 million people out of the whole world, that's not a lot of people, honestly. Yeah, and that's 2 million people that you would never come across of, and you would never come across of to even have the interaction to say, hey, do you know Snooty Whoop, whoever this guy is? But that's still 2 million people that you've never met, you'll never have a conversation with, that are still subscribed to this individual who's paying them out. You know what I'm saying? A musician that you've never heard of, but he has 3 million listeners, but that's 3 million people that you'll probably never come across ever in your life to even have a conversation and say, hey, do you know who Wap Dee Doo is? Who do this jazz music over here? He's dope. But he still got 3 million people that subscribe to him, that's paying him every day, every stream. That's what's so dope about being able to reach large scale markets across the world. Because we're not even just talking about, you know, when we're coming up in music back in the day, you was marketing your neighborhood, you was marketing your school, your community, you know, your state. Maybe you might go from city to city within your state, and that's your that's your biggest reach until you can get put on further. But man, I got a homeboy that's out in Denmark that I talk to from time to time who enjoys what I do. Like, man, this is dope. I want to collab with this and that. I would have never met this guy if social media wasn't a thing and these ways of putting your stuff out wasn't so vast to where you can reach so many people across the world. It's crazy.
It's incredible, man. It's incredible. And it's great opportunities for people, man. You look at the idea that these people can do these things, like even with OnlyFans, right? You don't even have to have your face out there, but you have the opportunity to make this level of money without having your face out there. You have on YouTube or Facebook or wherever these people are doing their skits, TikTok, wherever, you can take a few months of a run, and before you know it, you're partnering with big companies and you're doing collabs with celebrities and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And now you've transitioned from one thing as a skit maker into movies and all these other things because regular people are now taking these opportunities, that fame, notoriety, and transition it into actual careers outside of just social media. Like I looked at, we went out to eat last night at this pizzeria, and they had wrestling on WWE. And I'm looking up there, and one of the Paul brothers was up there. And apparently he's like a character on the show now. I didn't know he was a wrestler. And I thought to myself, wow, this dude went from being a YouTube dude to fighting Floyd Mayweather to being a professional wrestler. He just did whatever he wanted because he was famous. And it's like, I remember it seemed like being a wrestler would have been a hard thing to do once upon a time. Like you had to go to school for it, then you had to train, then you had to go through all the little unknown places that you work your way up, and then you work your way up from the unknown places, and then you get to the big leagues if you actually make it. Like, you know what I'm saying? But like,
yeah,
this dude is just, hey man, you famous? Come on. Ronda Rousey, you want to do this? Come on and come do it too. Like, you
know, but here's the thing. That's smart business. That's business too. I just ain't like the beautiful thing with that is the business aspect of it. It's like, okay, I know this guy has his own audience, and that's how they market it. Hey, look, I'm bringing an audience to you. I got 5 million followers on Instagram. That's 5 million people who subscribe to me. So you put me on your program, you make me a WWE wrestler. Guess what? That's at least half of those people that's they're going to want to tune in just to see me. And now every time I post something about me wrestling on your network, that's more eyes. Like that's the great thing. I heard Kevin Hart talking about it. Like you are really owning your marketing, your marketing ability. Like your profile becomes you and whatever it is that you built around you. So wherever I go, those eyes that are on me, that 5 million, whatever I post, whether it's a Chick-fil-A or if it's a bottle of Bamboo or it's me wrestling on WWE, that's 5 million people who are going to be exposed, 5 million people who will be exposed who might not have been aware or interested, now interested into your entity because you brought me on board. Right. So they're looking at it's a win-win from both sides. Win-win for that individual who I don't have to go through these loops and bounds and be this unknown person, go make a name for myself and become The Rock or become John Cena. I am who I am. You bring me on. I'm good to go. I'm good to go. You good to go.
Yeah, it all comes down to companies not wanting to have to build anymore. Because what you just said applies to the music industry also.
Music industry too, yep.
Hey, man, I'll find a little dope writer to write you a song and make you a hot beat. You know what I'm saying? You just take your fame and we'll make you hot, Cardi B. You know what I'm saying? Not saying that Cardi, maybe she writes her own stuff. I don't know. But you could take a Cardi, and if they got enough personality and enough musical talent to get by, we'll get you to write songs. You know what I'm saying? And get you out there. Sorry, Cardi might be a bad example because I think she did her stuff from the ground, even though she took her fame and did it. But
I think she did from the ground, but I think when she got to a certain point, she hit a certain level where the industry swooped her in and put her part of a machine.
Yeah, I think she did her point to a trajectory. She was famous.
Then
already.
She got sucked into a machine.
Yeah.
She was famous based off of her social content. She was famous based off of her appearances and being VH1 and all that stuff, and you know, building her own core fan base prior to getting sucked into the music machine.
Yeah, and then no, the music machine, like, okay, respect to her as an artist is what I'm saying. I think
right. She did build a little bit on her own prior to
musically. Yeah, I don't think somebody just said, take these five hot songs and we're gonna blow you up. I think she. You know, she had a little fame, some social media stuff. She did some music, and the music caught buzz. I think
it was a mix of both. I want to say it was a mix, obviously, of both.
But I just don't want to not acknowledge the fact that I'm pretty sure she put in some musical work. You know,
got to give a little respect for the work, though. Yeah, give a little respect for the work
because I think she did it, and I want to acknowledge that. You know what I'm saying? Because I think she did. Some people may not like "Catch Me Outside, Girl." I don't think she did, but. That Cardi did. But Cardi was the bigger example, so I went with her. But let's get into these cigars a little bit, man. We, you know, I don't want to get too far off from them because, you know, we're running out of show. So I do want to give a little part-way review.
Make sure we keep the stars going, right? Mm-hmm. Hey, look, man, I'm gonna talk about my San Andreas real quick.
It's burning.
Beautiful burn. Beautiful burn, man. Like, my ash is good. It's a beautiful ash. And that speaks to the structure of the cigar. So Romeo, I'm not too familiar with all the ins and outs of Romeo, even though they were my flagship cigar, my first experience and my first welcome into the cigar culture. I don't know much about them, and I feel bad that I don't know much about them. But what this is showing me today off this smoke is it's showing me that they construct their cigars very well. Whatever binders and fillers they use is high quality, it seems like. I've gotten a lot of good complexities over the last couple of puffs as we were having our conversation. And, you know, it's a little bit of pepper came in after the first initial puffs. A little bit, just a little bit. But then kind of infused well with the chocolate I had got off the beginning, the oak that I had got off the beginning, and those like kind of really meshed together and gave me something dynamic. So at first I was picking them out individually, and then it seems like as I got done with the first third, it kind of like fused together. Like it's like one hit me, okay, I can pick this apart. Okay, now the pepper's coming in, I can pick this apart. And then as I'm finishing up the first third, it seemed like it's all coming together now. And that kind of speaks to that quality of the construction of the cigar. That's where I'm at with it right now.
Okay. Great cigar then. Sounds like a good cigar.
I'm enjoying it so far. I like it.
I'm picking up on woodiness. I'm picking up on some the spiciness definitely subsided a lot. At this point, it's kind of like a sweet spiciness to it, you know what I'm saying? But all of that black pepper that I felt on the beginning kind of came down. A little leather, but not Gurkha leather, you know what I'm saying? Just a wee bit of leather, you know what I'm saying? And some woodiness mixed with that. Not a bad cigar. It's nice medium body smoke, you know what I'm saying, is what I would say so far. So that's where I'm at with it.
All right, cool, cool. Drew Estate, going with it. Yeah, doing a great job on that cigar there, it sounds like.
So
when you can handle, real quick before you go into what everybody's, where you're about to go. But if you can handle those two things, pepper and leather, and you can still wear it well, you're doing something good. You're really doing something good. So I just want to put note to that.
Yeah. Now the pepper was strong. Now don't get me wrong. That pepper hit hard when it came in, but it died out. And then, I say, the leather came in towards right now in that part of the cigar that I'm at. But it's it's very subtle. It's subtle. They didn't go hard on the leather.
Nice. Okay.
But back into the music conversation, man. You know, but we're going to switch gears a little bit on the music topic. So they have released a top 50 worst rappers list that's been making a little bit of noise online. So I wanted to see if we can go over it and have a little bit of a conversation on it. You know, I'm not going to sit back and name all 50 of them.
All 50?
I'm not going to. Y'all going to have to look it up.
But let's talk about what sticks out to you. Yeah, like what's your standout?
Yeah, we can do that. We'll go into the standouts. Let's do this. I'll do the top 10.
Okay.
We'll name the top 10. At number one, they got Silk the Shocker. Number two, Lil Yachty. Number three, Master P. Number four, OJ the Juice Man. Number five, Lil Flip. Number six, Lil Pump. Number seven, Smoke Perp. Number 8 6ix9ine. Number nine, Gutta Gutta. Number 10, Sean Diddy Combs. And a few honorable mentions. Number 11, Waka Flocka. Number 12, Coi Leray. And 13 is Birdman. 14, Vanilla Ice.
So, Vanilla Ice. Well, let me start with
really
this
funny.
One.
You know what's funny though? So they got Coi Leray at number 12. And guess who number 17 is? Oh. Her father, Benzino. Ain't that some mess?
it runs in the family. It runs in the family. Hey, man, but look.
I'm going to start off with this. I think number one and number three, I don't agree with them being at that spot. If you want to put Silk the Shocker on the list, fine. But I don't think he's the worst rapper of all time. That's unfair. How dare you?
I think it's fair.
Lil B.
Maybe not one. Shocker. Yeah. Maybe not number one, but he is definitely top 15.
I don't think
I say top 15.
15. You can put him in the top 15. 50, but I don't think top 15. Okay. So look, let's do this. If we're going to talk about it, are we going to judge people on the totality of hip hop, who's the worst, or are we going to judge you on how bad you were in your era? Because that's a difference.
I think we should do the totality of hip hop.
Silk ain't in the top 15 if we're doing the totality of hip hop. If you want to talk about his era, one thing.
Yeah, I think it's only fair. I think it's only fair that you consider the whole totality of hip hop. Because if you go era based, you can pull some guys from the 80s who are deemed some of the, best of all time. But you have to go back to the 80s and say what he was doing was unique and dope at that time. But then you fast forward after the evolution of music, after evolution of hip hop, and then the bars get more complex. You know, you got to weigh it against that. But I still think Silk, he's still top 15.
Look, this is the thing. This is where Silk get a bad rap. I'm gonna defend this, right? I'm gonna defend Silk because I've defended Silk to you before. Silk is. This is why Silk the Shocker is getting a bad rap with having him the number one worst rapper of all time. Because in his era, he was not viewed as the worst rapper during his era. Now, there are a lot of people that didn't feel him, but there are a lot of people that felt him too, though, man.
I can say that. No, I agree. And you know what?
And
I
don't not think saying
it was necessarily him. I think it was the whole movement of No Limit. It wasn't necessarily just because of who he was. If he didn't have No Limit behind him and that machine and that that aura of Limit was,
I get what
if he was standing on by himself and he was Silk the Shocker by himself, not Master P's brother and an artist under No Limit, I don't think he would have got the respect that he did being Master P's brother. And also thinking that Master P shouldn't be number three. He should come back down. He shouldn't be that high. He shouldn't be number three.
Don't even put P on the list, bro.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't even a fan of P back in the day, but I don't think he should be. Yeah, I don't think he should be there. I don't think he's definitely not number three.
No. And he never claimed to be no rapper like that. You know what I'm saying? But even with that, he ain't. Nah, bro. Like, you got to put respect on P than that, bro. P is. You got P over Baby. You got Baby Birdman is a better rapper than P.
Come on now.
Bro, like.
I agree with you. I agree with you on that. And this is coming from somebody who wasn't a big fan of Master P. I wasn't a huge Master P fan at all. Not even a little bit. I respected him, but wasn't a fan of you know what I'm saying, his music like that. I respected the music. Understood what he was doing. But it wasn't what I was riding to.
All right. How about this then? You got the list in front of you?
Mm-hmm.
Who's number 47 on that list and how you feel about it?
Come on, man. Hey, look, no, I'm going to be honest with you. RZA is number 47. And in all actuality, coming from somebody who enjoys bars and flow and personality and how all of that comes together, I agree with it.
See, I'm going to say in the totality,
I'm not a big fan of RZA as a rapper.
I'm gonna say on the totality of hip hop, RZA don't make this list.
But you can probably find 50 rappers who are worse than him.
You can't. But if we're gonna put RZA on the list, I like him there. I'll say that.
Okay. And that's where I'm at with it.
I like him there.
That's where I'm at with it. So, like, same thing that you said. So if you said who's top 50, or would you put RZA in the top 50 worst rappers of all time? I would have never considered putting him in the top 50. But if you are going to add him to a top 50, just out of fairness of style, era, region, culture, whatever, and you had to put a New York rapper from the 90s in the top 50, like if you say, okay, I need five people from the 80s, I need five people from the South, I need five people from New York in the 90s, I need five people from the 90s on the West Coast, and I have to get certain people in just to make it seem well-rounded and fair,
yeah.
I give it to him. But can you find 50 overall rappers who are worse than RZA? Yeah. But if I just had to fill a quota, you got to put them in there, and you got to put them right there. So, and then, like, the same thing with Gucci Mane. Like, Gucci Mane being 40, and I'm not a Gucci Mane fan, but I don't even think he should be 40, honestly.
Gucci shouldn't be 40, bro. Like, Gucci has had some weak moments, but Gucci's had some overall really good moments too. It, like,
overall career-wise, yeah.
It's a balance. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, overall career-wise. It's like putting 2 Chainz in there, and 2 Chainz had some whack bars. He had some extremely horrible bars in time.
Is he in there?
But overall, I don't think he's in there. But overall, would you ever put him in there? No. No, but has he had some weak moments? He's had some moments that I'm sitting there like, dude, y'all actually put this on a record and put this out? And this is on the radio?
2 Chainz had some terrible moments, but 2 Chainz had some moments where you go, too. Like, look at him, and same with Gucci.
Gucci had some terrible moments, some highly terrible moments, but he had some dope moments, too. I got to give him that.
Yeah. Right. That's where I'm at with Gucci. Don't put Gucci.
He's on the same conversation with Chingy. No, you don't put him in the same conversation with Chingy. That's disrespectful.
Nah, you don't. They put the whole St. Lunatics up there at 28.
Hey, but when it comes down to it, the worst rap diss of all time, them St. Lunatics, just based off of that diss that they had to who was it to? The Serpent of Peace, right?
Yeah.
Just off of that freestyle or whatever it was, yeah, you deserve to be top 50 worst. Just off of that one.
Yeah. See, they got them up there. They got C-Murder up there, which lets me know you just didn't like none of True. You didn't like TRU at all. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like
the whole group up there. Like, Nick Cannon's at 26. I think Nick can rap, but, you know, I can't.
It's the totality. It's the totality.
You know what I'm saying?
It's the career. It's the career. Yeah. They're looking at the whole totality.
Yeah.
You know,
I can't defend him as much as I think.
No, you can't.
He can rap, but you know.
How you feel about Nelly
Cardi
being in
B there? Cardi B is number 20. I don't think Cardi B should be on this list.
I disagree. Yeah, I disagree. I disagree with that too.
Cardi's not.
I'm not a huge fan of her. She's not a bad rapper. She can deliver. Like, I don't know, like, to what degree she writes home rhymes, like we talked about. But does she have a delivery? Can she flow with it? Yeah, I give it to her. Like, if you have the name of some of the female rappers who are popping right now, including Cardi and Megan Thee Stallion, she's one of the better ones. She's been one of the better ones out there right now.
Let's be honest, man. Cardi's going to go down as one of the best female rappers of all time. Why would you put her on this list? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because what she represents for her era. You know what I'm saying? Am I going to sit here and put her up against MC Light? No, I'm not going to have her run it with MC Light. You know what I'm saying? But she's one of the best. Like, let's be honest. You know what I'm saying? She may not be Light. She
represents her era very well. She represents her era very well.
She does.
Like, you hear the, you hear the City Girls. City Girls, Cardi B. Come on. Who's the Glorilla that's out? Glorilla, Cardi. Come on. Like, if you weigh her against her era, she's head and shoulders above most.
She is. I've never really heard a bad verse from her. Well, I said that's a bad verse. Mm-hmm. Like, I may not have heard loud about all her stuff, but I ain't never heard one. I was like, get out of here, Cardi. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right. I agree with that.
And I can say that about most people. I've heard bad Jay-Z verses. So, you know what I'm saying? For me to say I ain't heard a bad Cardi verse is a compliment to her. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. How do you feel about French Montana being on there? I don't think French is bad.
French ain't bad. French ain't great. French ain't never shined as great. Mm-hmm. French is middle of the pack. That don't get you on the worst of all time list, though. You know what I'm saying? Just being
I'm
totally mediocre. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I mentioned this to you, how much I disagree to this one, though. And a lot of people might not know how dope this guy actually was, but P.D. Pablo being on the list at 39, man, I think is a disjustice to him. Gotta get P.D. Pablo a bit more respect, man.
You looking at him as a two-hit wonder and putting him on the list for his career, but that ain't got nothing to do with how he got down on the microphone. You know what I'm saying?
Like, you got to listen to the album. You got to listen to the album. You got to listen to his actual work. You can't just like, okay, he had Freak a Leak in North Carolina joint. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You actually got to listen to him. Like, he don't deserve to be on the list.
Yeah. Don't judge him by his singles. Okay, we're in an era now where the fans pick your single and it can be anything.
Mm-hmm.
Petey Pablo's from an era where you had to go make a club song. And that's what it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, that don't mean that's who you were. When people bought your album, your single wasn't always indicative of what they were going to get that from that time.
Truth. Man, you said a word right there. Like, what's crazy now and what I hate when I listen to music now, especially with these newer artists, it sounds like a lot of these songs that they put on their albums sounds like it's meant to be a single. You know, I missed the era of you had two or three singles that didn't sound much of anything like the album. The album was a body of work that sounded like a body of work. And then you had two or three songs that kind of stood out that sounded a little bit different from the rest because they went in the studio with the saying, man, we need a radio joint. The record label come to them and say, all right, the album was good, but I need something for the radio. Now it sounds like they need, like everybody's making something for the TikTok or something. They're making something for the quick pop or the stream or for the radio. And it's like the whole body of work sounds like that. Like everything sounds like it's meant to be a single.
Yeah.
And missing the essence of what it meant to make a full body of work. Everything's not meant to sound like a single.
Yeah.
You know, you need to have those singles that sound separate from the rest because they're meant to be a single to draw your attention to me as an artist. And then now let's get into the depth of the artist.
Right.
Missing a lot of that. And that's what P.D. Pablo was.
I miss that also. I do miss that. I want the album to sound one way with two or three highlighting moments that may sound different. but I knew what you were doing with those two or three moments. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, Ross started doing that very well at one point. Ross did that very well at one point. Teflon Don, when he did that. And
people, man, people judge him on the singles, and that's why people don't think Ross is as great as he is. Go back and listen to the albums. That dude is dope. Like,
that's where I was. That's where I was. I wasn't a big fan of Ross, and then I became the hugest fan of Ross because I was judging him on the singles. Like, ah, that's cool. But then when I got into deeper than rap and actually started listening to the album, Teflon Don, started listening to the album, like, yo, this is it. Like, he going in because he came from that fabric of let me put this out for the radio, let me put this out for the street, let me put this out for the mixtape vibe, but this is my album, you know. And then now fast forward, he's not doing much of anything for the singles and for the radio. Now he's just doing album joints. So you got to listen to the album now.
Yeah,
you know, less singles, more album meat. And now he's not getting the respect on that end because he's making album meat and not TikTok dances. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, please.
This ain't something you can TikTok to. Yeah.
Now but he's cut from like, that cloth. Like he ain't what he is. You know what I'm saying? Like, but.
And he still go.
I'm giving you nothing but heat now. Like, you know.
Yeah.
And look at Ross. When he had his battle, his verses, he played Santorini, Greece. You know what I'm saying? Just, if that ain't an idea, I'll let you know what kind of cloth this guy is. Like, my
Santorini, Greece is not a. It's not a.
No way, yeah, that's not
a radio single, but that joint is that joint. You know what I'm saying?
But yeah, so that takes Petey off the list for me, man. I'll say I don't like my dog Pitbull on this list. They got Pitbull on this list tied with Flo Rida at 37. I know why you put him up there. I don't like him up there, you know.
See, but the thing is, they don't understand him. Like, same thing with Flo Rida. Flo Rida honestly shouldn't be on the list either, because those are two artists. They did it similar but different. They understood their market. They understood their market. They said, "This is where I'm going to last forever in pop music, and this is where I'm always going to be able to cash in a check." Because I'm Flo Rida, okay, I can probably do this, but if I do this, this is going to be residual for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to play this at some point, or I'm going to be able to perform this song forever to any market. Same thing with Pitbull. And Pitbull did it. He understood his market. He's like, yo, I could do this. I can continue to do this forever, but there's something else that's untapped. Let me tap into that, and then let me do it well. And he kills it. Kills it. Kills it more than Flo Rida, in my opinion. Way more than Flo Rida. But he
first
kills
of all, why
it.
Why would you package them together? That lets me know you just look at them as the same type of dude. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And it's not.
Yeah, man. Anybody else on this list that stands out to you, man? You know, I want to comment on Future being in here at 44. It's like I want them there, kind of, and I don't want them there at the same time. I'm torn on the Future thing. Like, I understand why you...
For the same reason with RZA. For the same reason with RZA.
Yeah. Future is not a... He never... He's a club artist.
He never came off as a rapper to me. Yeah, he never came off as a rapper to me.
Yeah, he don't care about that stuff, man. You know what I'm saying?
He's someone who makes... To me, he's someone who makes songs.
He's not someone who... John Rainey, like...
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't even call him a rap artist. I don't know how he feels and how he considers himself, but honestly, I wouldn't consider him a rapper.
He's not traditional rapper at all, man. It feels unfair to even categorize him into that. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not even a Future fan like that, but I'm uncomfortable with him being there. Like,
yeah. He makes songs in it for a hip hop genre. But his approach is different, and he's not coming at you with the intention of giving you bars. That's never been his aim. It's never been his aim.
He just made good songs. Not a good songwriter, even. He just made good songs, though. Like
he makes songs. He's one of those who understands his purpose, but it's just more hip-hop driven than Flo Rida. And so you could put him in the same sense and mix him in with the RZA type of idea. Okay, if you got to put a certain number of people from the South, from this genre or whatever, Hey, let's go with Future. Hey, we gotta pull somebody from this area. Yeah. Let's go ahead and grab Future. Come on in. But then, not for the same reason of Pitbull and Flo Rida. He understood his market. Okay, this is what they like hearing me do. I'm gonna do that, and it's gonna go.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't gotta try to give you bars like J. Cole, and it's not gonna come off like Benzino. You know, it's different.
It's almost like putting Future on this top 50's worst list is almost like putting T-Pain on it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
he did a lot of hip hop driven music, but he was singing. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Or putting him on the top 50 worst R&B singers.
Yeah, you're like, really? Like, really? You
gonna we're not expecting T-Pain to be Keith Sweat. Yeah. Nobody's expecting him to go and be you know what I'm saying? Go stand on the Versus stage with the crooner, with Brian McKnight. We're not expecting T-Pain to be Brian McKnight.
Right.
That's not what we're looking at for T-Pain to do. He's going to come in and buy you a drink.
Yeah.
That's what he's here for. Fall in love with a stripper.
But he ain't Milli Vanilli either. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
He got talent. The notion that he can't sing. Like, the man can sing. You know what I'm saying? Like,
he can sing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just his approach, his avenue of reaching his audience musically. It's just different. So you can't put them in that R&B and say, well, you're not doing what Brian McKnight, you ain't hitting all these runs and all that stuff. So we can't.
It's all based in club music, even the serious stuff. I've been more of a T-Pain fan than you probably, so you may not know this, but T-Pain always has a song on his album without auto-tune. He's been showing T-Pain for a long time. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
It's just that people aren't paying attention to it.
Yeah. He can hold a pitch. He can hold the correct notes. He can hit a run. Like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He just ain't going to be making no ballads at the end of the day. Like, you know what I'm saying? He ain't that type of singer. Like,
And he probably could, but it's just not going to come off like, you know what I'm saying, your greatest R&B crooner of all time. He ain't Marvin Gaye.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Now, speaking of RZA, having... The same argument we made for RZA, I feel like the same argument could be deserving of number 25 on this list.
Hold on, who's that?
Manny Fresh.
Oh, there we go. Okay, I opened up all the way.
Manny Fresh.
Fresh is not a rapper. He's not a rapper.
He's a music producer. RZA was a music producer. Yes, he did a lot of rapping. That's like, Manny Fresh like did Timberland his share of rapping, but he's not a rapper. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I didn't even think about that for RZA too.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like throwing Timbaland up here and saying, Timbaland, you're on the top 50 list of worst rappers. But he's not. It'd be the same rapper thing.
Like, really, you gonna put Timbo on the worst list of rappers? Yeah, he can't rap, but still, like.
Yeah, he raps. He's rapped on songs, Timbaland and Magoo and all that stuff. But he's not a rapper. So why put Manny Fresh on there as a rapper? Doesn't make sense. Yeah, you gotta
Puff
take that
can
off.
Stay up there. Puff can stay up there as a rapper.
Kind of, sort of. Yeah, kind of. Yeah, no, because he did go into an intention.
Made too much
of,
money off of it.
True.
He just had too much of it. And he got at least 5 albums. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. He's done more rapping than the rest of them. Yeah. Even more so than RZA, honestly. You know what I'm saying? RZA got 9 to 11 members that he might rap with, and he might have a little bar or verse here and there on a couple of songs. Yeah. Well, actually, he's had albums, Bobby Digital, which he probably shouldn't have done, but that's a conversation for another sector of individuals.
But I can understand why the album came out. They were having a run, and that's what you do. Mm-hmm. That's why Master P capitalized. Had albums out. They were having a run, and I'm the face of the brand. You know what I'm saying?
So I gotta be there. You gotta see something from me.
Yeah.
Same thing for Diddy. Same thing for Diddy. You know what I'm saying? Bad Boy coming. All right, let me hold down my end of the other weight. And even when he did, it was more of compilation ideas. So
Diddy wanted that. It ain't because Diddy was from that. Diddy was a businessman who wanted to be a star. Mm-hmm. RZA was a musician. Manny Fresh was a musician. You know what I'm saying? A lot of Manny's being on the track was the same way the Timbo's on the track. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just kind of fitting in while me and while we grooving and we doing stuff, and I put my
voice on. We catching the vibe. I might as well put my voice on it and do a little something for you.
Why was Puffy on so many records when you an exec? It's like Suge Knight all being on the videos. The records, you know what I'm saying?
He didn't, all on the records.
He claimed to be a producer, but you ain't a producer like Jermaine Dupri. I know y'all want to have the JD and Diddy battle, but Diddy ain't JD.
Not even close. You know no. How do you feel about that? While we're there, how do you feel about that? Diddy going up against a JD? Honestly, I think that's more. You go ahead. You go ahead.
Diddy would. Okay, Diddy can win that battle, but it's a battle that shouldn't occur because he ain't producing like JD produced. Mm-hmm. Diddy ain't in there banging on an MPC back in the day. You know what I'm saying? Like,
so I'm gonna speak for JD. I think it's more of a slap in the face to JD for him to battle against Diddy. I think it's a slap in the face. Now, if we want to talk about records and being the individual behind the force behind the records and the record label, mm-hmm. okay, yeah. But when we're talking about a producer's producer, a writer's writer, a beat maker's beat maker,
right?
JD and P. Diddy, they're not in the same class. That's a slap in the face to the man, JD.
No. Not you know, class. you put JD up against Pharrell. You don't put him up against Diddy. You know what I'm saying?
In a sense. Okay.
In the sense, they both did. They share hip hop. They share R&B. They both talked on the records and did hooks on the records and whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like
it's not as much of an insult or not an insult at all if you say JD Pharrell. Yeah. But to me, JD, you go up against Diddy. Diddy want to see you. That's nah, man. That's. If I was JD, I would be offended. I would be highly offended.
If I was Dre, I'd be offended. You know what I'm saying? Like, you put Diddy so against Suge. That's who you put him against.
I was gonna ask. So is Suge the only person that Diddy can go up against? Somebody who's not really that in their music realm, but then represents their music? Is that really the only big guy we got that's out there? And Suge's doesn't even hold a candle when it comes down to it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only way I see it. You know what I'm saying? We want to put Diddy up against all these people because he represents a certain group of music that came out from an era, but I look at him as an exec. Mm-hmm. His as a producer is overstated, but he is a producer. He's a producer, but more like an executive producer than I'm in the studio. Hey man, hey,
so you gotta put this drum pattern on this Khaled.
Say what?
Diddy Khaled?
Kinda, but even then. I don't know. I'd have to know how involved Khaled is. You know what I'm saying? I know Khaled used to make beats back in the day, but when I seen him recently, he was kind of trash. But I don't know. Like, maybe. It would just depend on how involved Khaled is in the actual, which I would imagine he's very involved. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think he's standing involved. Over my shoulder annoying me. Nah, change the drum pattern. It's like, well, what do you want? I don't know, but I just need, I think need to move like this. And it's like, come on, Khaled. Like,
calm down.
Program drums to move like this. Like, I need some, I don't know.
But I can see a correlation. I can probably say Diddy and Khaled. I think they would have the similar function. When they get on the records, only thing is Khaled don't rap on any records. Diddy has. And that's the only maybe really correlation that you can say with JD and Diddy. Okay, JD get on some records and rap. Diddy get on some records and rap. But JD will probably write his record, write his own raps, and Diddy ain't gonna write his own raps.
Right.
So who's really doing what?
Yeah, JD is. Let's be honest, man. JD is the more talented producer. Now, is he the most successful of them all? Is he the most versatile in the music industry as an individual? I don't know. Maybe Diddy's the more versatile individual because he wore more hats and of this and that. But you know what I'm saying? I don't.
Yeah. More that. I don't know. I think Diddy did. I mean, JD did some A&R too. Like,
I'm sure he did too. Alan Scott, like he did. I think he got his start with a lot of that.
It's probably closer than you think. Yeah, probably closer than you think. Around the same era. Early 90s, late 80s, before Diddy.
His father was big. Diddy got an A&R. I think that's how he got his break, and then he started producing afterwards. So maybe.
Yeah. JD, give him some respect, man. Give him more respect than what a lot of people have given him. He deserves a whole lot more. A whole lot more. Just as you give Pharrell the respect, give Timbaland the respect. Gotta throw JD. And we've done this conversation before. First episode, actually.
Yeah. Go back and revisit on the show. If you're watching this on another platform other than Spotify, we went over the Mount Rushmore of music producers in hip hop and R&B also. And that JD got his flowers in, and he deserves his flowers now, man. And not that I necessarily like JD's music over Diddy's music. You know what I'm saying? That's why I say Diddy can win the battle if y'all gonna put him head up. It ain't if we ain't just talking about numbers, you know what I'm saying? Because he had some big numbers with Usher. JD had big numbers with Usher and Mariah. So,
if we're gonna
play the charts game, Diddy might lose. But if we're gonna play like what make you feel something, Diddy can win that. Like
he might win. He might win. Yeah. It just depends on which route you want to go. And with those two guys, their catalogs are so vast, you can really go anywhere. There's so many ways you can go with it.
Right. But I don't know, brother. I think that's going to kind of sum up the 50 worst rappers list. You know, is there anybody else on this list that you wanted to just acknowledge, you know, that we didn't speak on? That we didn't touch on some of these newer rappers because I don't know a lot of them. You know what I'm saying? I know India Youngboy, they got him at 50. You know, I don't think Youngboy is that great, but I don't know if he deserves to be number 50 on this list.
I mean, let's be real. There's a lot of names that I'm not really familiar with. Yeet. Kid Boo,
Yeet or Kid
Smoker Boo. Perk. I don't know none of these people, so I can't really speak to them.
I know Smoker.
I don't know. And I'm just gonna
deserves to be on this list.
Yeah, we know 6ix9ine.
Plies is on the list. I don't know how I feel about Plies being on it. Maybe. They got Lil B, Gunna. Lil B deserved to be up there. Blueface deserved to be up there too.
Yeah.
Chief Keef. That's almost like Chief Keef is like kind of rock starry, like you know what I'm saying. Like,
okay. Yeah, I know the name. I know the name, but I don't know his work. I know the name. I don't know his work.
I'm not mad at Soldier being up here. Big Soldier,
Cool. Give him his respect as being one of the worst. Let's acknowledge it, please. Let's acknowledge it.
Riff Raff deserves to be up here. They got. We didn't acknowledge about this. Him. Bow Wow's up here. Realistically, hold on. Matter of fact, we'll say this. Bow Wow and Nelly is up here also, and Eazy-E is up here. Do those names deserve to be up here? And we'll end on those. I see Tony Ayo up here too. I find that hilarious. He's up there. and I won't take him off.
All right.
So Nelly, Eazy-E, and Bow Wow.
Eazy-E should come off because era. And
he was bad in his era, though. He was loved, but he was bad. Eazy-E and Silk the Shocker represent the same thing to me.
Same thing. Then leave him on there, I guess. And
he's
leave
too
him
legendary. Huh? You feel uncomfortable with doing that?
I feel uncomfortable with it, and I feel uncomfortable because era. I think that just hip hop has just gone, has done so much, and like same thing. Can y'all find 50 rappers worse than Eazy? Probably could if I really sat down and ironed it out.
Who was the worst in NWA?
Eazy.
But Eazy didn't claim to be a rapper either, in fairness.
He didn't claim to be a rapper. Yeah. That wasn't his thing. He was just riding with his crew. Yeah. You know, we're going to represent one crew. We're going to get on some records. We're going to talk, and I'm going to talk to him. I'm going to talk slick. And that's what Eazy did. He was just somebody who just, hey, look, I'm going to get on this record. I'm going to say something. And it's going to be slick. I'm a slick talker. That's my job. That's what I'm coming in to do.
Right.
But let's before we move on, let's visit Bow Wow real quick. Yes. Even if you talk about kid rappers, you know, and him not writing his own raps early, man, we had 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds who was doing records back then. You can throw out A+. I don't know if you know that name, if you remember A+. Shaheem, the man-child, who was doing it with Wu-Tang at 14, 15 years old, who was getting the pen in. And then somebody who was a child rapper himself. You know what I'm saying? I was writing my joints. Who was getting it in?
I would love to hear your verses today and put them next to Bow Wow's and just really break them down.
But at 13 and 14?
Yeah, I would love to put y'all up against each other.
I'm killing Bow Wow. I'm killing Bow Wow at 13. I'm killing Bow Wow now in our 30s.
All right. Go for it, though. Continue.
who was the other one? Nelly.
Yeah.
Give him some more respect. But as a rapper, he's not that. He's not a great rapper. But is he a horrible rapper? Does he make me cringe when he raps? No, he doesn't make me cringe. And he's had some humongous hits. Rapping. Not just with the singing thing that he's done. He has some humongous hits rapping. Gotta give that to him. Bow Wow's had big hits rapping, but, you know, Bow Wow wasn't the writer. And then when he started writing his own stuff, it fell through. It wasn't it. He needed T.I. He needed J.D. And that was the only way he was surviving. And then when he started making his own identity, he was just somewhere else. Would he have had the potential, I think, if he would have stood on his own and tried to hone his craft and gain his identity the way that he probably should have and became more of an ill rapper? The opportunity was there. It was just ego probably got to the best of him to where he didn't do what he needed to do to become a great rapper for the rest of his career.
Right. I dig it. Well, I ain't got nothing to add to it. For the most part, I agree with you. The only thing I'll add to it is I don't know if I agree with you because of my own bias of Bow Wow. That's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Acknowledging the fact I'm older than him and I always looked at him as this little crappy rapper, you know what I'm saying? Kid rapper, you know what I'm saying? It could be my bias never allowing me to unsee him as this little young dude. Yeah.
So, but come on, man. When Bounce With Me came out, you had to say, like, yo, who was this little kid doing this thing? I did that. I did that.
Stunk back then. So I don't know. You know what I'm saying? But I could be biased. You know what I'm saying? Because we were teenagers. Yeah. I couldn't look at no little 11, 12-year-old with no respect. Think how you looked, if you were 15, 16, how you looked at an 11 and 12-year-old. Like, you know what I'm saying? So
no, I mean, but look, when... Another bad creation, man. Like, you had adults who was... It was going.
Dance stuff, A-plus, though, man. You know what I'm saying?
A-plus was going. Well, A-plus and us, we're about the same age. Same thing with Shaheem. About the same age. But you couldn't deny that they was going, though. You couldn't deny that A-plus had bars. You couldn't deny that Shaheem had bars.
Yeah,
it's just Bow Wow was more poppy. He was more poppy, more.
Maybe my finger on why I think he wasn't good. So that's just me acknowledging I may be biased because I can't put my finger on why I didn't think he looked good. And there's always a possibility I'm just stuck in my mindset from back then, and I refuse to let it go.
Could be.
Who knows?
Could be. And that's a lot of us, probably.
Possibly. You know, or maybe he's just bad. Knows, man. But let's review these sticks, man, and get up out of here.
All right, let's do it, man. Let's do it.
So, I got a Nika Bastika by Drew Estate. I'm going to say at this point in this cigar, a lot of the earthiness, a little bit of the pepper kind of came back a little bit towards the cigar, but very light, much lighter than it was in the beginning. For the most part, it was still the earthy woodiness. Little bit of the leather, like I said, and a little bit of spicy sweetness that I picked up on throughout the stick. It's done pretty smooth. I would say overall, a pretty solid cigar. No real complaints about it, but it also didn't make me like fall in love. I will go with, we rank from 1 to 5, 5 being the highest. I go with about I keep wanting to say 3.7, but I'm fighting myself on it. So I'm going to just go with 3.7. I'm going to just say it because that's how I feel.
Okay. Okay. Respectable. All right. So Romeo y Julieta. Oh, man. It was an enjoyable smoke, man. I'm gonna say I enjoyed it. What's crazy is I've never really picked up on aftertaste and like really paid attention to distinct aftertaste of cigars. I haven't relit my cigar. It kind of died out a little bit. I didn't want to relight and ruin it with the butane. I want to relight it with the cedar. So I'll get back to it later. But man, I'm sitting with nostalgia. So I'm wondering the construction of Romeo and the consistency of their construction. Because for some reason, this aftertaste that I'm having really reminds me of South Beach. Really reminds me of that first time. And that could really be a testament to its consistency. For some reason, that aroma is very nostalgic. The aftertaste that I'm having right now is really nostalgic. And it's taking me back to that first cigar moment. I know it's not the same exact cigar that I smoked or the same type or whatever, but it's very, very reminiscent. Overall, the complexities of it came together. Like I'm talking about like how they fused together really well as they were individual at first and then kind of just boom, came together and made me like really enjoy it. I'm going to leave this cigar off with a 4.2. Well, I will smoke this again. Definitely. San Andreas by Romeo y Julieta. Definitely a good one. Definitely a good one.
Okay. 4.2. Great score.
4.2.
Very respectable. Hey, before we get out of here, you know, I probably should have plugged this earlier on, but you guys, man, go check us out at Vernon's underscore cigars at Instagram. Go check out our people, Secured Profits, man. Secured Profits plug, man, because we ain't had no commercials in a while. Man. Go pick up some gear, man. For those of you that's into your stocks and stuff, man, go follow our people, Secured Profits, over on Instagram and go buy some product from them over at Teespring if you're still checking us out.
Get your investment advice, game up.
Yeah. Investment game up. Now's the time to get it, man, while the market is messed up, man. So you can go ahead and
make
some good money by the end of the year because it's going to probably improve sometime here in the near future.
Yes, sir. Right.
Hey, with that being said, we appreciate y'all for tuning in to the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar episode / Scottie Pippen episode. Hey. Y'all be sure to tune in to next week's episode of This Cigars and Everything Else podcast. We out.
Yes, sir. Cigars up.